Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, PA. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For details on this group event, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his teachings on Easter. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Killed for Trying to Help.
Have you found peace this morning in the resurrection? They were able to find joy. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The resurrection promises us joy. And this joy that we have, the world didn't give it, and the world didn't take it away. And the slaves knew this. I was reading a quote by Frederick Douglass, who was an escaped slave. And he reflected on his times in slavery. And listen to what he wrote. We were at times remarkably buoyant, singing hymns and making joyous exclamations, almost as a triumphant in their tone, as if we had already reached the land of freedom and safety. Did you hear that? In the midst of being a slave, that they were able to sing hymns and make joyous exclamations. Why could they do that? Not because of Abraham Lincoln, not because of Martin Luther King, not because of the Kennedy brothers, but because of who? Because of Jesus Christ. Your joy is not dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent and rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Joy. Peace, fruitfulness. John chapter 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Fruitfulness in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of struggling, that God still can work through you to bring forth fruit. Another song that was born out of slavery was one of my favorite songs, and it was titled, I Shall Not Be Moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And one of the lines in the song goes, come and join the army. I shall not be moved. Fighting sin and Satan, I shall not be moved. Man, the resurrection speaks to our heart. And it lets us know that because of the resurrection, we have hope for a better life. Man, isn't that something that people have fought for and worked for years and years, was for a better life? And Jesus said that I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly, that you might have a life super abundant in quality. There's a whole lot of people that got plenty of cash, but they don't have peace. There's a whole lot of people living in big houses, but they don't have joy. There's a whole lot of people that got money coming out their ears, but they're not fruitful. The resurrection gives us life. Because of the resurrection, secondly, we see that that our leader continues with us. That all other leaders are dead. They're in their grave. Now, granted, they probably are living somewhere beyond this life. We know that the Bible, according to Luke 16, that when people die, you either go to a place in the presence of the Lord or you go to a place of eternal suffering. So all leaders who died, no matter how good their cause was, if they didn't know Christ, they're not in his presence right now. As many people as they might have helped, as much good as they might have done, they don't have eternal life. But because of the resurrection, our leader continues with us. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, he could not fulfill his promise. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, "Lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the earth." Talking to a guy one time. He was a Christian. He said he would never fly an airplane. I said, "Why? Don't you trust God? Don't you know that Jesus is going to be with you?" He said, "Well, you know, he said in Matthew 28 that, lo, I'll be with you." He didn't say anything when I get up there high. He's with us. Low or high, Jesus is always with us. He abides with us. And our leader, he died, but he came back. He came back. You know, look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Glaze translation. John chapter 20, after Mary had saw Jesus and had a conversation with him, and she said in John chapter 20, in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now let me read this in the Glaze translation. After Mary Magdalene had an encounter with Jesus, she came back to the disciples and said, "Our leader is back." Our leader is back. We thought that he was dead. No, notice the guys in this passage, they had hope, and they lost all their hope. They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, in Luke chapter 24, verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. But we had hoped that our leader should have been the one to redeem Israel. And besides this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now you got to keep in mind that in the Jewish culture back in this day, they believed that when a person died, that their spirit hovered around the area for 3 days. And so there was the hope that maybe in the 3 days, as Jesus' spirit hovered around, that he might come back. These guys had lost their hope. They were in Jerusalem, and now they were leaving. And they said, "Wow, it was 3 days since he died. And, you know, we kind of hope that, you know, we have a tradition, a custom in our tradition that, you know, the spirit kind of hangs around for, you know, 3 days. And now, you know what? There's not even any hope. This guy's gone. He's not coming back." Mary said, "I've just seen Jesus. I've just talked with Jesus. And behold, our leader."
We will take a short break from today's teaching.
Greetings, radio friends. Your cry has been heard. The 2018 Biblical Counseling Conference at Bethany Baptist Church. We will be using the Bible to deliver people from the distressing issues of life. This year, we are focusing on toxic relationships. The workshops at this conference will include identifying and recovering from an abusive relationship, counseling teens through troubling times, identifying toxic relationships and how to break free, dealing with toxicity in codependent relationships. All are welcome. This is just not for counselors or pastors. This is for the everyday layperson in the church. There is a early bird registration if you register before March 31st. For more information, visit us at www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org or call 412-246-4463 and mention workshops. We hope to see you there.
We will now return to today's teaching.
I don't know about you, but growing up, I would watch a lot of television shows. And invariably, there was a show that you would watch, and an alien would come from another planet. And when the alien would come from another planet and run into a human on this earth, what was one of the first things he would say? Take me to your leader. Right? Take me to your leader. Well, let me tell you this morning. If you come and ask me, oh, hallelujah, to take you to my leader, I would say I could take you to my leader, but we have to travel a road. And this road that we have to travel is called the Romans Road. And as we travel the Romans Road, we see Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then on this road, we travel Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And on this road, we travel Romans 10:9 that says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, I can take you to my leader. I can take you to my leader. My leader is alive. My leader is living. My leader is with me. My leader, as we said here, I can experience my leader because he's God and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But you know what? Sometimes, saints, sometimes, because I can't reach out and grab a hold of my leader, so I can't reach out and shake a hand with my leader, that I have to experience my leader by faith. I have to go by the word of God, and that the word of God says that my leader is still alive, and by faith, I accept the fact that he's alive. And even if I didn't have the faith that I don't know about you, but I woke up early this morning and I saw that he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how. I know he lives. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. And I don't know about you. But he lives within my heart. That I know my leader is alive. That he's not dead. He is alive. And because of this, because of the resurrection, I can experience my leader. And the third thing that I want to say this morning is that because of the resurrection, we have a hope beyond this life. Let me show you something about man's hope. Martin Luther King, again in his speech, I Have a Dream, he said this. 50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon of light, a great beacon light of hope, great beacon light of hope, great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to the end of the long night of their captivity. But King went on to say, but 100 years later, the Negro is still not free. What happened to that hope? What happened to that hope? Let me tell you about a hope this morning. A hope that doesn't disappoint. A hope that's not dependent on man. A hope that has been initiated by God. A hope that has been inspired in our souls. Let me tell you about a hope this morning that 100 years later will not let you down. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll close with this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we talk about this hope. And the first thing we see about this hope, I like verse 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If we only have hope in this life, if our hope, now look, wow, this is deep. This is deep. Abraham, Martin, John, Bobby, could only give us hope in this life. They could not give us a hope beyond. They could not give us a hope beyond this life. As much as things have improved because of their efforts, that when we die, whatever hope, whatever progress we experience dies with us in the grave. I need a hope beyond this life. Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, then we are of all men most miserable. Heard somebody say that the resurrection of Jesus is a myth. And if it's a myth, then I'm mistaken, because I myth understand. And I am among all men most miserable. No, it's not a myth that Jesus is alive. And because he has risen, we have the hope that our bodies will rise again. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, because the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. You can bury me. You know, I know I talk to different people. Some people want to be cremated. Some people, you know, now, because I get this question asked me all the time. What is correct, cremation or burial? People ask me that all the time. And, you know, one of the things that I say is, you know, whatever you choose, God is still going to raise the body up. If he got to raise up some skeletons and rotten flesh, or if he got to raise up ashes, he's going to raise it up. Now, when he raises it up, that no matter what sickness, illness, disease that we have in this body, that it's getting up one morning. And because Christ got up, we have the guarantee, we have the assurance that your body, I've been here for over 25 years, and I don't know how many home-going services that I've done. I just think about from July 1990 until today. You know, one of the things that I did is that I started a file in 1990. In every service that I did, I take a program, the program, and I put it in that file. And I can go back and I can think about every person that I eulogized over my years here. And when you think about that, you know, years ago, some of them were buried, put in the ground, but one day, their body is going to get up. One day, is going to rise from the dead. And the reason that our bodies are going to be resurrected. And some people have a problem with that. Some people say, you know, there's no resurrection, that when you die, that's it. You become non-existent and it's over. But no, as I said here a couple weeks ago, death is not a period. It doesn't mean stop and it's over. Death is a comma. It means to pause and continue on the other side. It's because Jesus rose from the dead that we're going to continue on the other side. We have the hope that our bodies will be resurrected. But wouldn't it be a shame if our bodies were resurrected just like this? You know, being a pastor, you know, you go to the nursing homes and you see people that are sick. Some people are in wheelchairs, can't move around. Some people or laying in the bed, totally dependent on somebody else. And God, in his infinite grace and mercy, he looks down upon us as sinful human beings. And I believe that God, in his grace, for those who love him, those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that death is that release from this body. But wouldn't it be something to be released from this body and then go to another body of sickness? Well, praise God, because of the resurrection, that's not going to happen. Look what he says in verse 51. In verse 51, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, when it says sleep, that means die. "We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised." Look at this. Incorruptible, without sickness, without sin, without suffering, that we shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body that you live in now, that's prone to disease, that's prone to death, that's prone to sickness, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Because of the resurrection, we have a hope one day that there's no more suffering and sickness in our body. And then finally, because of the resurrection, we have the hope that we'll overcome death. That our hope, as many of the leaders that walked this earth fought for a better life, the hope for a better life, that our hope is guaranteed because of the resurrection. Verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin, the sting of death is in sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory over death through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have a hope of another life. And as I close this morning, there have been some great kings that have come before us. Some great kings that have come before us. Bernie Mac, the king of comedy, he's dead. Michael Jackson, the king of pop, he's dead. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, he's dead. B.B. King, the king of blues, he's dead. James Brown, the king or the godfather of soul, is dead. But there's one who lives forever, and that is Jesus Christ. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is alive forevermore.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Fake News. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Killed for Trying to Help, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Killed for Trying to Help. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Killed for Trying to Help. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.